Canto 4, Chapter 7. The Sacrifice Performed by Daksha. Maitreya said, Lord Shiva, thus being pacified by Lord Brahma, fully being satisfied, spoke with a smile, O mighty armed one. Mahadeva said, I do not take offense at those whom I regard as children. I do not want to talk about or think about it, O Lord of the created beings. I corrected the ones who were deluded by the external energy of God. Let there, for the Prajapati, whose head was burned to ashes, be the head of a goat, and let Bhaga look at his share of the sacrifice through the eyes of Mitra. Pusha, who led the sacrifice, will have to eat chickpea dough, or food chewed for him. But the godly souls who did grant me a share of the sacrifice will fully recover. The two arms of the Ashwins and the hands of Pusha are there for the priests and the others who have to miss their limbs, and let Bhrigu have the beard of the goat. Maitreya said, All who at that moment heard what the best of the benedictors said were fully satisfied, O dear one. They said, Well spoken, well spoken. Thereupon, Lord Shiva was invited by the godly souls and the sages headed by Bhrigu, and together they, with the liberal one Shiva and the lord of the Veda Brahma, for the second time headed for the sacrifice they wanted to perform for God. After having performed all that Lord Bhava had told them to do, they joined the head of the animal of sacrifice with the body of Daksha. Proceeding thus, under the supervision of Rudra, King Daksha immediately regained consciousness like awakening from sleep, and saw the compassionate Lord standing before him. The very moment the Prajapati saw the Lord who rides the bull, his by hatred polluted heart became as clean as a lake in autumn. Even though he wanted to pray to Bhava, he, with his eyes full of tears, could not do so because of the great surge of feelings upon remembering the death of his daughter. After he with great effort managed to pacify his mind that was overwhelmed by love, the Prajapati, having come to his senses, prayed to the Lord with praise and straightforward feelings. Daksha said, What a great favor you have done me by punishing me. Despite the fact that you defeated me, you, nor Vishnu, O fortunate one, ever deny an unqualified Brahmin like me, so why would he who keeps to his vows and performs sacrifices suffer want? O great one, the Brahmins were first created from the mouth of Brahma in order to disseminate the teachings of self-realization, vows and austerity. Therefore, you, with a stick in your hand, protect them every time they are in danger, just like someone who protects his herd. You who, by me, unaware of your reality, were insulted in the assembly with the arrows of my unkind words, do not really take heed of that. Seeing me sliding down to hell because I defamed the most respectable one, you saved me out of compassion. I wish you to be pleased about what you did out of your own mercy, your lordship. Maitreya said, Daksha, thus being forgiven by Lord Shiva, with the permission of Lord Brahma, resumed the performance of the sacrifice together with the priests, the ones of learning and the others. In order to be purified from having been in touch with Virabhadra and his men, and to perform the sacrifice meant for Vishnu, the best among the Brahmins settled for the oblation called Purudasha, offered in three vessels. O Vidura, the moment the leader of the Yajna, Daksha, thus sanctified in meditation, offered the clarified butter with the hymns of the Yajurveda, Lord Hari appeared, the Supreme Personality. The effulgence of all souls present there was at that time overshadowed by the brightness spreading in all the 10 directions of him who was carried by the enormous wings of Garuda. With a dark complexion, garments yellow as a gold, a helmet dazzling like the sun, curling hair, bluish like black bees, a face decorated with earrings, with a conch shell, a lotus flower, a disc, and arrows, a bow, a club, a sword, and shield in his hands, and with his many golden ornaments, he looked like a blossoming tree. Garlanded with forest flowers, he had his consort Lakshmi on his chest in the form of his Srivatsa mark, and only a small glimpse of his magnanimous smiling glance was enough to please the entire world. At his side, yak-tail fans looking like swans were being waved, and above him one saw a beautiful moon-like white royal canopy. Seeing him arriving, all the demigods and the others led by Brahma, Indra, and the three-eyed Shiva immediately stood up from their seats and offered their obeisances. Overshadowed by the lustre of his glaring effulgence, they all fell silent and, full of awe, touched their heads while bowing down to pray to Adakshaja, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even though his glory is beyond the comprehension of even Brahma and such, they now by his grace could see his transcendental form and offer their prayers according to their different capacities. Daksha, seeking shelter, was accepted with his honorable oblations of sacrifice for the master of all sacrifices, the supreme preceptor of all progenitors of mankind, who is attended by Nanda and Sunanda. With great pleasure, with a subdued mind, and with folded hands, he then offered him his prayers. Daksha said, "You, Lordship, now fully present here, have returned from the purity of your heavenly abode in a perfect transcendence above all mental speculation. You are the one without a second, the fearless controller of all matter, who, seemingly impure, are engaged with her, with Maya, as the overseer and self-sufficient one." The priests said, "All of us, not conversant with the truth of you, who are free from the influence of the material world, we, who are of an intelligence that because of Shiva's curse is of a too great attachment to fruitive activities, O Supreme Lord, now know about your name, Yajna, that stands for the arrangement of religious sacrificing operating with the three departments of the three Vedas, for the sake of which we are engaged in the worship of demigods." The members of the assembly said, "On the path of repeated birth and death, we have no place to take shelter. We are greatly troubled by being bound to this formidable fort of the king of death, Yama, that is infested by ugly snakes, and in which the mirage of the material happiness of having a home and a body constitutes a heavy burden. When we have to live by the double ditch of distress and so-called happiness, the fear for wild animals, the forest fire of lamentation over the interest of the ignorant souls, and are afflicted with all sorts of desire, we, with you who gives shelter, enjoy the protection of your lotus feet." Rudra said, "O Supreme Benefactor, when I, desiring fulfillment in the material world, have fixed my mind on your precious lotus feet that are cherished and worshipped by the liberated sages, I, with a compassion like yours, attach no value to it when ignorant people speak against me." Bhrigu said, "From Lord Brahma down to every other embodied being, all who, under the influence of the insurmountable material energy, are bereft of the knowledge of their original self, are submerged in the darkness of illusion. They, not seeing you as situated in the self, cannot understand your situation as the absolute of reality. O Lord, you, as the friend of the surrendered soul, be kind to us." Brahma said, When one tries to see your person, this original form of yours cannot be perceived with the help of the different sensual virtues of respect for acquiring knowledge. For you, who constitute the basis of the knowledge and objectivity of the material qualities, must be regarded as differing from that what is made of material energy. Indra said, "This transcendental form, O infallible one, which is there for the welfare of the universe, constitutes a cause of pleasure to the mind and eye. You, after all, possessing the 8 weapons held up by your arms, chastise those who are hostile towards your devotees." The wives of the attendants of the sacrifice said, "This worshipping and sacrifice, as arranged by Brahma, was devastated by Lord Shiva. May today the beauty of your lotus-like glands, O Lord of Sacrifice, sanctify the sacrifice that by the anger against Daksha became as still as the dead bodies of the sacrificial animals." The sages said, "O wonderful, O Supreme Lord, are your activities to which you, in the exercise of your potencies, are never attached, nor is your lordship attached to the mercy of your obedient servant, the goddess of fortune Lakshmi, for the grace of whom one is of worship." The perfected soul said, "The elephant of the mind that, being scorched by the forest fire of sensual afflictions, is thirsty, having plunged in the river of the pure nectar of your pastimes, no longer remembers that misery and never wishes to come out, just like someone who merged with the Absolute." The wife of Daksha said, "Be pleased, my lord, with my respects for your auspicious appearance, O abode of the goddess. With Lakshmi as your wife, you protect us. Our arena knows no beauty without your arms, O Lord, just like a headless person does not look very good with only a trunk." The local rulers said, "We doubt whether we can see you with our material senses. You, revealing your eternal form, we regard as the inner witness by whose grace the entire illusory world can be seen, O possessor of all, for you appear with the 5 elements as the 6th one." The masters of yoga said, "They who deem no one as dear as you and see themselves as existing in you and not as separate from you, the supersoul of all beings, O master, are very dear to you. And how much more do you, O loving parent, not value absolutely the faith of those souls, O Lord, who, devoted therewith, are of worship? We offer our obeisances to him who by his personal appearance, by means of his material potency, determined the fate of each living entity depending his specific inclinations. Him we honor, who appeared differently with the many material qualities for the sake of the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the material world, and who, in his absolute state, turned away from the interaction of the basic qualities of matter." The Vedas in person declared, "Our respects unto you, transcendental to the modes of nature, who constitute the shelter of the quality of goodness, and are the source of the austerity and penance in all religions. I, nor anyone else, really knows you or your situation." Agni, the fire god, said, "By your effulgence, I am as luminous as the greatest fire, and may accept in sacrifice the 5 kinds of offerings mixed with butter. I offer my obeisances to Yajna, the protector of the sacrifices, worshipped by means of the 5 kinds of hymns of the Veda." The demigod said, "Formerly, at the time of the devastation of the era, when you, as the original personality, rested in the water and lay down on the snake bed Anantashesha, you withdrew into your abdomen that, what you had created and was estranged from you. You, upon whom the liberated souls in their hearts meditate in philosophical speculations, we now see present here before our two eyes, moving on the path of the protection of us, your servants. The denizens of heaven said, Maharishi and great sages under the direction of Brahma, as also Indra and the divinity led by Shiva, are to be considered parts and parcels of your body, O Godhead. May we, unto the Supreme Almighty One, for whom this whole creation is just a plaything, O Lord, always be of respect and offer you our obeisances. The Vidyadharas said, After, with your external potency, having obtained the human body, and with dwelling in the body, thinking in terms of I and mine, having misidentified himself with it, the ignorant person who takes the body for himself and is distracted by material possessions, also follows the wrong roads of seeking happiness in sense objects. But relishing the nectar of your topics, he can be delivered, even when he drifted far away from that position. The Brahmin said, You are the sacrifice, the offering of the clarified butter, the fire in person. You are the mantras, the fuel, the kusha grass to sit on, and the pots. You are the members of the assembly, the priests, the leader of the yajna and his wife, the demigods, and the sacred fire ceremony, the offering to the forefathers, the soma plant, the clarified butter itself, and the sacrificial animal. In the past, it was you who, as the great boar incarnation, from within the waters, lifted the world up on your tusks as easy as an elephant picks up a lotus. Your sound vibration was by great sages like Sanaka arranged as an offering of prayers in the form of a sacrifice, O knowledge of the Vedas in person. You, as that same person, we ask to be pleased with us who, failing in performing the sacrifices, are awaiting your audience. When one sings your holy names, O Lord of Sacrifice, one manages to overcome obstacles. Unto you, our respectful obeisances. Maitreya said, O Blessed One, with Rishikesha, Vishnu as the Lord of the Senses, the protector of sacrifices, thus being glorified, Daksha, having learned, arranged to resume the sacrifice that was devastated by Virabhadra. O Sinless One, Lord Vishnu, the Supersoul of all beings and enjoyer of all sacrifices, having received his share, was satisfied and then addressed Daksha. The Supreme Lord Vishnu said, I, Brahma, and also Lord Shiva, do not differ essentially in being the supreme cause and supersoul, the witness and the self-sufficient one of the material manifestation. I, having entered my own external energy that is composed of the modes of nature, O twice-born soul, thus create, maintain and annihilate the cosmic manifestation and have a name appropriate to my activities. Someone not conversant with this thinks that Brahma, Shiva and the living beings exist in separation and departs, impersonally in this regard of me, from the notion of the one supreme self, the supreme Brahman, that is without a second. The way a person never supposes that his head, hands and other parts of his body would have a separate existence, my devotee neither supposes that the living beings would exist separately. He who does not consider the three of us, who constitute the one nature of the supersoul of all living beings as separate entities, O Brahman, achieves peace. Maitreya said, The foremost of all progenitors, Daksha, thus being addressed by the Supreme Lord Hari, after worshipping him with due ceremony, next worshipped the demigods Brahma and Shiva individually. After, with a concentrated mind, having granted Lord Shiva his share of the sacrifice, and after he also, together with the priests, in order to round it off, had paid respect to the God-conscious souls and the others assembled there, he took the concluding Avabrita bath. When he thus, on the basis of his own belief, had achieved the perfection of religious dutifulness, those three servants of God, who thus had inspired with intelligence, left for their heavenly abodes. Sati, Daksha's daughter, was, after formerly having given up her body, reborn from the wife of Mena, who lives in the Himalayas, so I have heard. Because she felt no attraction for another man, Ambika, as Shiva's beloved one, made sure to accept him again as her husband. For her, he was the one goal, the original masculinity of the person that lies dormant in the external feminine energy of matter. This story about Shambhu, Lord Shiva, as the lord of all living beings, who destroyed Daksha's sacrifice, I heard from a great devotee and disciple of Brihaspati, Uddhava. The person who, after repeatedly having heard about these pure activities of the Lord, with faith and devotion, also recounts them, will find fame and longevity, and will, being freed from material contamination, find the destruction of his sins, O descendant of Kuru.